Brother John mentioned in his prayer thoughts regards to Brother John leading our song and me breaking unto us the bread of life. And certainly that's what we'll be doing this evening, but to some extent we're actually going to be more talking about the bread of life tonight. Because as you may have seen, the title of our lesson is, It Is Written. Before we get into talking about the various things we're going to discuss in regards to what is written, I want to talk just a minute about reasons why things might be written. We know through the study of history that long, long, long ages ago, things were passed down by rote or by memory. Even the stories of and the histories of peoples were memorized and passed down by memory. But what we see whenever God gave His Word to mankind, whenever God gave a covenant to man, after He got past the point of speaking directly to the fathers, He had that Word written down. Because when you write something down, it can be verified. It can be looked at. I can find out what God wanted Moses to tell the Israelites today by going back and reading what was written. I realize we're reading translations of what was written, sometimes translations of translations to some degree. But I can go back and read that, and I can know that that's what God said. And we've talked about the verifiability of the pages of Scripture and what we have preserved for us. Anything that we want to make sure can be passed down, we write it down. Sometimes we write it with a typewriter so people can actually read it later, but we write it down. We put it into words on paper. Because, as all of us have learned, if nothing else, by playing the game telephone when we were younger, the vocal word can vary sometimes. But the written word is always the same. And so when we think about the Word of God, I want us to keep in mind that it was written for a purpose. And when the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthian brethren in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 36 beginning, he says, was it from you that the Word of God first went forth, or has it come to you only? If anyone thinks he is a prophet or spiritual, let him recognize that the things which I write to you are the Lord's commandment. But if anyone does not recognize this, he is not recognized. Therefore, my brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak in tongues, but all things must be done properly and in an orderly manner. Certainly we recognize this is immediately following Paul's discussion about the gifts, the miraculous spiritual gifts that the Corinthian brethren were coveting. And one of the points he makes in that is the most important thing is to get God's Word out. And he makes mention, the things that I am writing are the commands of God. Why did he write? So they could go back and see what he had to say. So they could look and see the written Word and come to an understanding of it. And the Word is there for us today for a number of reasons. And I want us to consider some of those, and I've got all of them on the same slide so I don't have to keep remembering to hit the button between them tonight. I'm not sure how quickly we will be going through these. But there are some very valid things that we as Christians need to keep in mind are the purpose for us having a written Word. And the first, it is written so that we have an answer. So that we can answer any question. Now there, Matthew chapter 4, you recall that's when Satan tempted Jesus. And the answer that Jesus gave in every instance was, it is written. Multiple times in dealing with the difficulties or the problems of the Jewish leaders, he said, have you not read? Or, it is written. The written Word is there so that we can give an answer. That's what the Apostle Peter tells us when he says that we ought to be ready to give an answer to every man that is curious about the hope that dwells within us. Everyone that asks us about our hope. The word is there so that we can have the answer. And there is no reason for us not to be able to answer any man, because we have the answers there available to us. We're not going to spend a lot of time reminding, but we're going to do on this one point. If we want to have the answer for any of these other things, that means we're going to have to spend time in the Word. The written Word is given to us so we can answer. We can answer back to Satan when he tempts us. We can answer the questions of those who are curious about why we live our lives the way we live. We can go to the Word of God and give them an answer. We need to be careful that the answers that we give are from the written Word. Not from our minds, not from our thoughts or understandings, but we can go back to the Word of God and give that answer. But also, the written Word is there so that we can have authority. So that the messenger who is speaking the Word of God can go back and show that this is what God said. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11, whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies. So that in all things, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Peter says whenever we speak, we need to be speaking with a kind of authority that allows people to know that we are speaking from God. Peter's not talking about in our general conversation from day to day. He's talking about when we are speaking regarding God. And in order for us to speak with that kind of authority, we have to go have somewhere that we can go and see what God said. And so that's why we have the written Word. So that we have the authority. So that we can be a messenger of God. It is also a channel, or it's there to give us faith. It's there to provide us with the reason that we believe the things we do. Faith is not some nebulous thing that just happens without any reasoning behind it. Faith is something that is developed because of evidence. And the written Word is that evidence. Faith comes through hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. And as we've said in other lessons, the more time we spend with the Word of God, the stronger, more developed, more dependable our faith is going to be as we walk through this world. The written Word is there to provide a means by which our faith can be built. And in such, it is designed to give us faith, because it gives us the evidence that we need to believe. And as we know from the Hebrew letter, if we don't have faith, it is impossible to be pleasing unto God. Because those that would come to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek after Him. Also, when we look at the Word of God, we need to see it as it is, as a guide. Sometimes we've heard it referred to as an instruction manual, or a map, or a pathway. It is a guide that directs us in our daily walk. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, Paul says, however, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. Where was that pattern found? It's found in the written Word. Where do we go for that standard? We go to the Word of God. It gives us a guide and a pathway so that we know which way to walk. We know how diligently we need to walk in particular areas of our life because of the struggles that we may face. It could be compared to a map because it not only tells us which direction to go, but it also lets us know about some of the difficulties we're going to face on that path. It's not just that it says, okay, you go 5 steps due south, and then you turn and you go 25 steps to the east, and then you go. It also tells us that when you start making that 25 steps to the east, the grade's going to get a lot more difficult. And you're going to have to work a little bit harder for that. It is a complete guide. fact, if we look to the Word of God as we ought and we depend upon the written Word as God would have us to, it is like having someone who has already walked that path walk along beside us or directly in front of us, pointing out all of the things along the way that we need to watch for and that we need to look for and that we need to seek after. It is a complete and perfect guide. There has never been a guidebook for anything that has been as complete and perfect as the guide that God has left us in the written Word. If we didn't have the written Word, where would we find that guide? Some would say, well, if God didn't give us the written Word, He'd still be telling us in our minds exactly what it is we ought to do. Well, then how would I be able to verify to somebody else that what I've heard from God in my mind is actually what God said? How would I be able to help someone else find that guide? You see, by giving us the written Word, it's given us a means by which we can help others with the guide also. In line with the idea of the written Word being given to us as a channel or to give us faith, it is also there for our assurance. To assure us of our obedience, to assure us of what God has promised is going to be fulfilled, there's all sorts of things in regard to this idea of assurance. One of the things that Jesus did as He was walking the earth and trying to turn the Jews back to God is He continually, as we mentioned a moment ago, referenced back to the things that had already been written. Have you not heard? Have you not read? It is written. The proof that He was the Messiah was written in the Law and the Prophets. If they had gone to that written Word and listen to what it had to say, they would have known that He was the Christ. Time and time again, He pointed them back to that. And that's exactly where the apostles went when they started convincing the Jews that they had crucified the Christ. In Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost, he referenced David and he referenced Joel at least. I think there's many other subtle references in that lesson to the words that these people should have known. They had the words that would prove to them that Jesus was the Christ. But they weren't taking advantage of it. And so they could not be sure whether He was the Messiah or not. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22, we read, "Let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." We can come to God with full assurance because we have the written Word. There is no other system that can give us that kind of assurance and verification. All of the rest of the religions of the world are based on the changing and quaking and shifting plans and ideas of men. While they may have some allusion to Christ and to the Word of God, their foundations to be what they claim to be are on the thoughts of men. But we have the living Word of God that was delivered to us in a manner that verifies that this is the Christ and we can go to it for assurance. And so when we go to use the living Word as a guide for our feet to walk through the pathway of life, we can know that the footsteps we take in line with that Word are sure and they are safe. It's never going to lead us into that which would cause us harm in the eyes of God, because we have the written Word to give us that assurance. But as the psalmist tells us, it's also there to bring us joy. Psalm 19 and verse 10, they are more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the dripping of the honeycomb. The words of God are such that they bring us great comfort and joy. When we fully begin to understand what the written word does for us, what it's all about, who it's bringing us close to, it can develop within us a joy and satisfaction that we cannot find anywhere else. A kind of joy and peace that is beyond what we can comprehend with our feeble earthly minds. Have you ever had things not going so well? Difficulties, problems crop up, and you just stopped and had a piece of scripture go through your mind and you began to feel a little bit more peaceful. Or maybe you took the time to search out a particular passage of scripture that gives you comfort and strength, or that gives you encouragement. And as you read that passage, you could feel the change that was taking place in your attitude. It didn't get rid of the problem that was giving you so much trouble, but it took your mind off of it and pointed you back to the Lord. It helped you to change your attitude. The Word of God will bring joy to the reader. I know when we talk about the need to read from the Word of God and read from it regularly, we talk about it in regards to study and learning and application in our lives and being able to better speak to others in regards to it. But another part of the reason for spending time in the Word of God so much is it brings us great joy and comfort. How do you think those first century Christians felt when they heard the words of the Revelation? When they heard the message that it begins with, that indicates that Jesus is King and He reigns in the kingdoms of men, that He's in charge, and no matter what else is going to happen to you, as long as you're with Him and on His side, everything's going to be all right. How do you think they felt? You reckon those brethren got back often to that book, that letter that was written to them? As they went through their trials and their tribulations, I'm convinced they spent more and more time dwelling on and thinking about the Word of God. I know the more often I look at what's going on in our world today, the more often I want to just find myself somewhere in a corner reading from the Gospels. Reading from the Old Testament where God delivered various ones who gave their lives to Him from the oppression and difficulties they were dealing with. Reminders that God is in charge and He's in control. The Word of God is written down and preserved for us because it gives great joy to those that will spend time reading from it. Of course, in line with some of the other things we've already talked about, I guess I should have said at the beginning, these aren't in any particular order. The Word of God is written down to give us instruction. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the Ephesian brethren in Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 2, said, "If indeed you have heard the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you, that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in brief." By referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to His holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. What are you saying, Paul? I wrote you these things so that you can understand, so you can gain instruction. The scriptures that have been preserved for us, the writings of the sacred things, as Paul told Timothy, are there because they are profitable for all things that we need. They'll make us complete in serving God. They give us all the instruction that we need in order to get through this life alive. I know. Most of the time when you hear a phrase like that, everybody tells us you're not going to get through this life alive. None of us are going to get through this life alive, but I'm here to tell you that when we read and understand the Word of God, we see the instructions for how to get through this life alive. To get through this life and still be alive in the sight of God. True life, eternal life. It's the instructions. And if we will spend our time reading from it, we can know exactly what to do in every situation we will find ourselves in. If we read, we can understand the revelation. If we read and spend time in the Word of God, as we learn from the Roman letter chapter 1 and verse 16, it will reveal to us the power of God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is God's power for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. As we've studied in our Wednesday night Bible class, the passage there and the words that came after that, the point that Paul makes there is the word that has been revealed to you shows the power of God. And as I think about this, the thing that comes to mind is the bringing of the Israelites out of the land of Egypt. Do you remember what God told Moses about why he was doing it the way he was doing it? He told Moses that Pharaoh is going to deny. He's not going to let you come out. And I'm going to punish you. And I'm going to punish you. And I'm going to punish you. All the way up to the point that he'll lose his firstborn. And the reason for that is to demonstrate my power. You will come out with power. Now, we have a similar showing of the power of God in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Christ, of Jesus, the Son of God. That's what the gospel story is, isn't it? That's the good news. That Jesus Christ walked upon this earth as a man. He died on the cross of Calvary to pay the price for sins. He was buried, and on the third day he arose. The word that has been written and preserved for us is the power that brings us salvation. There again. The more time we spend with that written word, the stronger that power will be within us. It gives the power of God in its message. Anyone who will believe the written word can understand and recognize that power and can receive the salvation that it promises. Finally, we have the written word because it reveals the standard by which we will be judged. The day when, according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of men through Christ Jesus, Paul told the Roman brethren. It's going to be that by which we are judged in the end of time. I've stated before, and we'll probably state many more times, God has never asked man to do something without telling him what he wants done. Most often how he wants it done and when he wants it done. And that's what the written word is. It is the standard by which we will be judged. This is the book, one of the books that will be opened on that day. And our deeds will be judged according to that book, whether they are good or bad. Everyone will stand before God in judgment and give an account of how they live their life. And that account will be matched up with the words that were prepared and left for us to guide us. I've heard the Word of God sometimes compared to the review sheet that you're given for the final test. It's especially the kind of review sheet that I used to get from some of my teachers that had all the questions on there, just had them in a different order. And if you read that review sheet and you found the answers to all those questions in that review sheet, when you got in there to take the final test, you just start, oh, yeah, I know all that. If you want to think of it as this is the checklist that God's going to look at to see, I don't have a problem with that. It's the standard God is going to judge us by. In Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12, I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. When those books are open, will you have lived your life by the written word such that you'll pass the test? Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith, Paul told the Corinthian brethren. The written word is there so that we know what standard it is by which we'll be judged. There is no reason for us not to know what God expects of us. It's been written down, passed down through the ages. Remain true. It's been verified. We can go and look at the originals. If we want to go through the trouble of learning how to read Greek, we can actually go and read the Greek text and see how it matches to what we have today. It's been preserved perfectly so that we can know what God expects of us, so we can give answers to others. Yes, it brings us joy. Yes, it gives us a guide to get through this life. And more importantly, it guides us to heaven. And if we follow it diligently, we can know that we'll be found true in the eyes of God when this life is over. It is good so that we might know the mind of God. We know everything, but we know everything that is necessary in order to please Him in this life so that we might be with Him for eternity. You look this evening and find that you're not living according to that God, we encourage you to correct that. Pray to God and ask Him to forgive. There's a possibility that your sin is such that you're having difficulty overcoming it on your own. Maybe it's of a public nature and needs to be corrected. Opportunity is yours. We'll do everything we possibly can to help you, just like we expect you to help us to be faithful to the Lord. Something in your life that you need our prayers in regards to. If you want to take the opportunity, it is here. It is yours. Why not come when we stand in sin?